This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 17 minutes or so. We're also 8 minutes away from talking about what could be a massive shift in collegiate sports. Now, there's still some hurdles to get through, but it looks like it's getting very close, and it could happen as soon as this July. We'll tell you what that is in just a bit. But we had J.J. Piccolo on the show. And if you miss any bit of that interview, it'll be podcasted. Also, we might play a little bit of that again in the 1 o'clock hour. We asked him about the back end of the bullpen and what they're getting out of Estevez and Ursek, Harvey and Lynch, and he was quick to put a few other names in that same
Sam
category.
Long, who was pitching some kind of like leverage spots from last year, and Angel Zerpa, who'd been off to a bit of a rocky start.
And I know tonight, if they're in a situation where they need to protect the lead, Carlos Estevez, Lucas Ursek, probably not available given the work they have had the last couple of days. But right now, knowing that it's 10 games in, the grouping of Harvey, Lynch, Estevez, and Ursek, 20 2/3 of an inning pitched, 20 strikeouts and a 0.44 ERA. We saw last night the one run given up there from Carlos Estevez. I don't want to put them in the category of what we saw in 14 or 15 yet. It is far.
You're not ready to call him HDH,
no.
Huh?
That would be crazy.
Somebody asked in the text line yesterday.
Yeah, that would be crazy 10 games in. It really would.
Yes.
But if we compare it to obviously what the first half of last season was, until Lucas Ursek arrived. And then even when Ursek was around, it was still really just him. And I know in the postseason, they were able to trust Angel Zerpa. But this offseason, prior to bringing in Estevez, it already looked like it was going to become more of a strength. And now, clearly, this is going to be a strength. Now, maybe they have to mix and match the roles. Will Estevez be the closer all year? I hope so. Maybe not. But I hope he is.
I don't know why it wouldn't be.
So far, so good. And he's not going to be perfect, by the way. He gave up a run yesterday. Not going to be perfect. He didn't have great command yesterday, but he battled through.
That's he just needed to not give up 3 runs. That's all
correct.
I cared about. Saves are saves. Like sometimes the ERA, and I know that like someone's going to have like flashbacks to when they traded like Jonathan Broxton away and he was bad for the team that eventually acquired him because he'd had a bunch of saves and a higher ERA despite that. But if you look at the combination, Estevez, Ursek, and Harvey have 14 2/3 innings. They have 14 strikeouts and they have a 0.61 ERA. If you include Lynch, that ERA goes down to 0.44, 20 strikeouts and 20 2/3 innings pitched.
Mm-hmm.
It has been everything you want. The best possible news in it is Estevez, we knew, was a really good back-end relief pitcher. That's why he cost a bunch of money in free agency to get here. Ursek was a setup guy for the A's, but had tons of control and big strikeout stuff, and we saw what he could do the second he showed up, but he was a little more of an unknown, I think, when Kansas City acquired him. But I feel like now we have faith in him. Harvey busted last year. Harvey pitched really well for the Nationals. Seems like he had been overused. And then by the time that they got a chance to use him, was hurt. And they never got a chance to see him. He's got a 0.00 earned run average. You're telling me now that 7, 8, 9, I don't have to shake in my boots? Great. The rest of the depth goal, I just feel good about. Look, I don't ever need to see Chris Stratton probably pitch regularly, but if he's pitching, the game's probably not in hand one way or the other right now anyway, and that's okay. Like, until he can find his stuff or not, they'll eventually just go down and go to Noah Cameron or somebody else in the bullpen or somebody else in the rotation who they want to get in the big leagues, and they'll find another guy who can get outs if he doesn't get around to getting them.
Feels like his role at this point should be, it's one of those days at the office, they're down 6-1 in the eighth inning, and it's just, you know, you don't want to burn one of your top end relievers. That's kind of where his role should be at the present time, because he's just not been effective to this
point. Yeah, I agree. Pitch a couple of innings in there. Lynch is the most fascinating part of the grouping for me, and the reason why I gave you the stats with him, one, because he is bordering very close on the longest consecutive scoreless inning streak for a Royals reliever ever, beating Wade Davis's. Yeah,
I do think,
and Vern's right.
Context is needed on that, though.
Yes. All things are not created equal. Wade Davis was doing that scoreless inning streak when he was a ninth inning closer for a World Series contending team. Mm-hmm. His will be valued greater. But not giving up any runs for 27 consecutive innings is not to be washed away, as it is not important either, even if they were in low leverage. The key is now is work them into high leverage. Tonight, for instance, as JJ pointed out, and we had pointed out earlier in the show, Estevez, Urseg, and Harvey are all kind of overworked. Not overworked, but they've been used a lot over the last few games, which means I think at the very least, Estevez and Urseg are probably unavailable based on pitch count in last night's game alone. If you get to the eighth inning in a 2-1 Royals game or 2-2 Royals game, let Lynch pitch. Let's find out whether or not he's got it. I want to know if him and Zerpa can close down a game, because I know at this point that the other guys can.
What do you make of Carlos Estevez's celebration? Going all Dragon Ball Z.
The sound effects on the own sounds like kind of funky. Sounds like I'm at laser tag.
I'm aware of Dragon Ball Z, but that I feel like that came out a few years. Like, if I was 3 years younger, I would have been way more into it.
Okay, so it was never like my personal show of choice, but I had a couple friends who were really into it. So I've seen my fair share of Dragon Ball Z, because you got friends who
and
are
then
into
what
it,
is Bobby? What is Bobby like catching the fireball or whatever?
I'm
is that
guessing
what,
he's just having
on?
Some fun with it. Yeah. I don't know the opposite end of, like, I'd have to see the full scene, but most of the ones that I were watching were like the big Goku fights or whatever back in the day. So as someone who only kind of knows a little bit about it, it's a fun celebration. I think it makes for a fun graphic and for the Royals.
For sure.
So yeah,
I never got into anime other than I watched the Pokemon series as a kid or a little bit. That was about it. And I never got into Dragon Ball Z. Never was my thing. I know it's like very, 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 very popular, but never was my thing.
No, I've got nothing against it.
It adds something to getting a save. It adds something to it.
I think it adds a little juice. He's just a fiery guy. Him and Urseg both do not shy from showing emotions when they help close out these games. Look, I don't think they're the next HDH. I'm not willing to say that. But it is a not just small improvement. It is a night and day improvement from day one of the back end of the bullpen last year. Last year, with a 4-run lead, you had no confidence that there was any chance they were going to close a game out. And now they got three guys without an ERA and one guy with barely an ERA in the back end of the bullpen right now. Cool. That sounds fine to me, because it's 0.61 between the four of them if we include Lynch, or 0.61 if we don't include Lynch, and 0.44 if we do. That's a pretty good sign, I'd say, overall.
Royals, again, back at it right here on 96.5 The Fan tonight, against the Twins, game two of their series against Minnesota. College sports last night, at least on the men's basketball side, wrapped up. Of course, there's still some baseball going on collegiately. College World Series will be in Omaha later on, and who knows, maybe we'll have some local schools
Your
represented
Kansas
there.
Your the top 25.
They are in the KU baseball.
Wait, KU baseball is good.
Top 25.
Are they normally... This is a
serious
question.
They're normally
question.
Not that good.
Okay,
yeah.
Are they normally bad?
Yeah, I wouldn't say like they're horrendous, but yes, they're a fairly new head coach here as well, and they're top 25. They're top of the Big 12 right now, so we'll see. It'd be pretty cool to see if they could go on a little bit of a run. It's not something that typically happens for
trying to get them in a College World Series. Will you go up to Omaha if Kansas gets in the College World Series?
I've been there twice before.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty cool to go if that. They got a lot of long ways to go before we're talking about that. But
what's the closest
region?
Super regional?
Well, it depends if they're
whatever.
You know. Yeah, I mean, Arkansas is, I think the Razorbacks are one of the top two or three teams in the country. So they
aren't they always?
Yeah, they have a great baseball program.
They always did. Didn't Dayton Morris kid play there for a little
Arkansas,
while?
Arkansas, you know, the Texases of the world, Tennessee, you know, Florida, obviously. These are schools that just always seem to have great baseball programs. So college sports, baseball, softball, everything's still going on. And there could be a huge shift that impacts both those sports and in every sport in college. It hasn't been approved yet, but yesterday, one of the stories around the national title game with some of the reporters down there had to do with the House settlement on what's going to happen with revenue sharing for collegiate sports. So it still has to be approved, as I said, but if it goes into effect, this plan could take effect as soon as July 1st, and it would clear the way for every school to share up to $20.5 million each with its student athletes every year. So that would be basically the revenue model for college programs. What's tricky about this is, you know, the debate about Title IX stuff, because if you distribute, it comes out to be $2.5 billion over 10 years to men and women who were college athletes as well between June of 2016 and September of 2024. So there's a little bit of back pay built in. Then the allocation that's proposed, 90% of the money would go to men's football and basketball players, 5% will go to women's basketball players, 5% will go to men and women on other teams. That's the class action portion of it. But moving forward, it's going to be the share of up to, you know, $21 million, and it would replace scholarship limits with roster limits. That's the huge part that's probably not being discussed enough. Like the dollar amount, you're like, wow, that's great. They can share $20 million. That's incredible.
Sorry, it's only 60 players now, not 85. What do college teams carry now, Drew? 85, 90 players?
For football?
For an entire season in football?
Oh, yeah. In terms of roster sizes, yeah. It's at least 80, 85.
I gotta be honest. If NFL teams can make it work with 53, why the hell can't you make it work with 53 or 60? Why do you need 40 additional players?
You would directly pay players the revenue share, yeah. And then they still get full scholarships and NIL deals. But to make it work financially, you're just going to have roster limits, and not the same old scholarship limit stuff.
It basically kills, I think, and this is a college thing. I know that a lot of people, I think, who are just casual observers, people who just generally like college football every now and then, and they'll watch. It kills the walk-on, and I know a lot of people don't care, but. We're never going to see a Rudy story ever again based on the way that roster sizes are. You're not going to let walk-ons are already getting shoved to the side anyways, but you're actually going to never see a story like Rudy essentially ever again with the way that this is kind of rolling. I know that stinks,
but I'll be honest. If you take Alabama's roster from 85 to 53, I actually think it will balance college football better. They can't stash the four-star safety freshman who they're not even planning on playing that year doesn't go to Alabama in that case. Mm-hmm. He goes to a different school and is available to play for that team. I'm not guaranteeing it will do it, and there'll never be perfect balance in college football, but I do think it could provide balance for college football because these 85 roster limit teams can stash whoever the hell they want. They can stash great quarterbacks, great safeties, great offensive linemen. If you can't offer them all scholarships, well, then great. They'll just go somewhere else. I don't know. It doesn't seem that bad to me.
I think you're right. Also, it makes the portal a little bit worse, actually, because, well, I couldn't go to Alabama, so I got to go here. But Alabama told me that they'll come back and they'll get me from this place if I transfer over because they just don't have enough rosters. But that whole roster management thing will be very interesting to see how it affects the portal in terms of what things look like.
Probably strengthens the D2 game, and then those guys will have to transfer up.
Because I think you're right, Cody. On the face of it, this is great because, you know, guys that would go to Alabama who might be, second string actually have to go somewhere else and they might get real playing time. I think that's always kind of been the case. But now that there's true roster limits to the amount of players on a team, I think it makes it intriguing to see where the top 100 players go all of a sudden. And maybe, I mean, if you're Kansas or Kansas State or Missouri, I think you like it a little bit more with the way with it being this way. I know that you obviously have your roster limited, but the chances of you getting a higher profile player at KU or K-State is maybe a little bit higher because of this sort of thing happening. So.
One of the things that was mentioned, and the reason why it hasn't been fully approved yet, is, and this makes sense, the judge that was overseeing this House settlement, I guess, is saying, hey, the roster limit's like, you can't just have it go in effect immediately. Then you're basically going to, you know, you would have current athletes off of every team. One of the suggestions that she's asking them to fix before she approves it is she wants the roster limits phased in, which makes sense, right?
Yeah,
phase them
fine.
In. So current athletes are not going to lose their roster spot just like that. Phase this in for the next upcoming classes and work your way in there.
I don't know how to work around Title IX. I gotta be honest, I have no idea how you can tell a court. Title IX has existed for a very long time. It is a great program. It exists for great reasons. I don't know how you say, we're going to spend $20 million on football and basketball. not for softball or gymnastics or hockey or any of these others. They get zero. Like, it is a, and especially like you, depending on the athlete, let's just say like Livy Dunn is kind of a good example because how marketable she is. It's like, how do you make these determinations where they do or don't have to be paid? Anybody can make NIL. That's good. But how do you circumvent Title IX in this case? And I don't know that you can. I think this is like a false flag or something. Every time we talk about paying NIL, paying college, every time it is always, it's going to kill all the other sports. And I think that NCAA's done a really good job marketing it as like making it seem like it's the death of every other sport. It hasn't been the last 20 times you told me it was going to be the death of every other sport that colleges do. So like, I'll be honest, I don't really believe you that it's going to kill.
We're already seeing
it's going to kill
though.
Ohio State hockey this time.
We're already seeing it happen though. Like Stanford,
there's
I believe
some schools that have cut back.
Yeah. Pac-12 in particular, with that stuff happening, they're getting rid of their swimming programs, which have been very historically good in that conference.
I don't think it's the death of all collegiate sports, but it is going to have drastic implications.
It kills the Olympic sports
for a lot of their non-revenue sports, and that's the reality as we're going away from amateurism. That's just where this thing is trending. And yeah, the Title IX stuff is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out moving forward. And for all these schools, I think part of this too, and why people are skeptical, because on the surface you hear $20 million shared to athletes every year, like this is a great thing. It's definitely better than what they used to have. But still, ultimately, this huge, huge settlement, much like a lot of these, like the lawyers are also getting a huge chunk of this money involved as well. So it's even less money than it would actually get. It's that's just the name of the game. I understand it. But like,
that's how suing people works. You know? Like you get more deal, for you.
The complaint from like athletes like Livy Dunn and others is that like a lot of this was a deal negotiated, of course, by the lawyer. Like the athletes feel like they didn't have much of a say. Now, there's a lot of people listening that are probably saying, hey, you're getting a share of $20 million. You were never getting that before. What are you complaining about? It's not a perfect deal. Settlements are never going to appease everybody involved.
But, well, and I think that's where now that they're becoming employees, potentially you potentially look into a union. Is there something where the players have more of a voice in this conversation? I think one of the things, too, that's interesting.
Some player safety protections. Get some stuff for yourself.
Especially with the medical stuff. That might be the biggest thing, because there's people whose athletes' careers are totally ruined by college sports. Not that they were going to be great in the pros anyways, but they don't have a chance because of said injuries. Is you're getting rid of now with this, the boosters are still, of course, going to be there. They've always been involved, but you're getting rid of agents as well, where the schools are handling everything now. The players don't need agents to do this. They can self-negotiate everything. They can get every little penny that they deserve for themselves. They don't have to give any fees away. All of it's designed by the school to be paid out from there. There's people within every organization now. You know, you got GMs, you got operations people, you've got the people who facilitate NIL stuff anyways within the schools. Everything will be through the school, which I think actually helps things a little bit.
I think they said any NIL payment over $600 will have to go into a review process or something. I'll just be careful. Hopefully there's not some
There will be, of course, with the review process. I know there will still be backdoor deals.
I'm talking about the NIL review stuff. No, of course there are still going to be schools that circumvent it. I mean, that's never going away. That's just never going away. Anyway, thought it was interesting. It could take effect this July, but it's something that's been going on. And yesterday there was a hearing on that. So let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
This one involves a restaurant, Cody, a little controversial in Thailand. So a restaurant in Thailand is being accused of, quote, fat shaming. Okay. They're offering diners discounts if they can fit their bodies through spaces with varying widths, as detailed in this Instagram post that we came across. So basically you would get a 20% skinny discount if you can fit your body through, like, you know, a set of skinny bars or whatever it may be. There are five categories ranging from 20% off for customers who can fit through the smallest space to a 10% discount for navigating the medium slots. And finally, a full price for those who can only navigate the largest gap. And there's video of this like chart, and you can see like how narrow the 20% one is. Like, I don't know if we're all getting 20% on this show, guys. I don't think we're getting 20%. I think we're in that 15 or 10% discount, maybe.
Okay.
We definitely are at least getting one of the discounts. I don't think we're getting the 20%. What do you make of this? This is happening in Thailand. Like, it's the weird balance of,
I mean, they're not saying you can't eat there, right?
Is it still? It's still discriminating. It's still a little bit of that. It's a tricky. It's why it's under a lot of scrutiny there in Thailand.
I mean, what's the difference between this and like a senior discount or a discount for, like, you know, they know it's going to cost them less money to feed you. If you're super, well, hypothetically, I mean, that's not necessarily, it's not a one for one, but they're, you know, it's a gimmick. I don't have a problem with gimmick things. I think this is no different than it's like your meal's free if you eat this 72 ounce steak. I have less chance of doing that than somebody who's like a professional eater or eats more, you know, like they're not stopping me from trying. You can still try to fit through the gate.
Yeah, I think the thought is the people that are pushing back on it, you walk in and you order the exact same dish, they're going to, let's say, charge you more than the person that weighs 115 pounds.
They're going to charge you the normal rate. More is relative, right? Well, if this is the standard going rate for any person who walks to this door and decides not to walk through that screen, well, then I don't think they're necessarily doing anything wrong. You're right. If they upcharge me for being bigger, that seems worse.
Yeah, it's not like they have a scale when you walk in. It's like, hey, you got to
weigh skinny,
in.
Yeah. Skinny, I mean, if you look at the article, there's these bars that you have to try to weasel your way through.
Definitely not.
There's no way we're getting the max discount. Nobody on the show is getting the max.
That person looks like they weigh 105 pounds.
You think so?
Yes.
I haven't seen the photo.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. One of them is like, you know, it's very, very narrow.
Well, okay, yes, I have no shot. Yeah, I would get a discount,
like, you're
though.
Pretty skinny. You probably get the biggest discount on the show, but, like...
Oh, I think I would, yeah. I think I would.
But there's still, like, a limitation. You're not there. And again, you don't have to, like, this is always, like, this is a bit of, like, free will.
If you want the 20% discount, just go to the gym, you know?
Or just don't go to that restaurant if you're offended by their policy. Like,
you can't eat there.
There are tons of businesses that I do not go to because I disagree with either ownership or policy-based. You can make those same decisions for this restaurant. No one's forcing you to eat at this restaurant, I guess, is my stance.
Yeah, so...
Make your own personal decisions on where you frequent a place.
This is, in Thailand, 20% skinny discount. That's the trash of the day.
How do you think that would actually go over here?
Horrible.
Oh, it'd be a disaster. Horrible. It'd be a mess. People would lose their mind. It would be a mess.
I mean, if the food was banging, like, it was so good. It was one of the top places, like, top local joints in the city. All of a sudden, you get a discount if this happens. That doesn't stop you from coming in and eating.
He can just go somewhere else. You think this place... Is fat shaming? Go somewhere else. That's fine. I mean, I don't blame you for thinking that they're fat shaming because they're just saying only skinny people can get a discount here, but just frequent a different business that doesn't.
It seems like it would be a terrible business model, though, I will say, from a just alienating people. You're right. You don't have to go, but it seemed like that'd be a terrible business model.
I think it's like they're trying to get people through the gimmick.
Do we know if they've, how long this has been going on for? Like, have they lost money? Have they actually, you know. Increase their...
I have not been to Thailand. I do not know.
Oh, I didn't know if it said in the article is what I was saying.
Oh, it did not.
No.
I mean, not that I can see. But, yeah, I don't... Again, it seems like kind of a weird... It does seem like a weird gimmick, I'll say. But I've also, like, I don't know. I've seen those other ones where, like, yeah, maybe there's a scale. I can't remember now. But there's other restaurants that I think have employed this gimmick. Not here, but it feels like it's overseas more common. Also, people have different, like, this is sucky, but, like, different cultures judge and view, and, like, there's a whole different, like, it might not be weird to the people of that country to, like, they might experience more fat shaming, unfortunately, in a country, depending on what the cultural standards are.
So is it a buffet? I don't know if it said the restaurant was a buffet, because that would make even more sense to do the gimmick there. Like, someone says, Cody, you lose 30 pounds. Now you don't care about fat shaming.
That's not it. I didn't say. I just said I just wouldn't go to that business if I was, you know. Like, that's all.
And then we got this person. I wouldn't get any discount because my muscles are too big to fit through.
I like the way that sentence reads. It's just funny. Just too strong, you know?
There
too
might be.
Alex been going to the gym. There, too jacked.
There might be some individuals that struggle to get through, you know? Mm. Might be
that pole vaulter from France.
He might, you know.
He might have different problems.
Yeah, you have to make it through without any part of your body touching. So there could be some problems for a lot of people.
Wait, your body can't touch?
No, I just made that.
Oh,
up.
Okay. Nobody's getting through.
I have no idea. All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. What is happening in the AFC West on the coaching front? Is this actually the solution for some of these teams? And we'll take a look at another mock draft. We're a little over 2 weeks away from the draft.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Draft.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get into some draft talk here in just a bit, including what one of the latest mocks have the Chiefs doing at pick 31. I know Jay Binkley, Christian Ocero have their new mock draft out. Character concerns. They also have a draft special coming up this Thursday night. So you want to check that out, 6 o'clock this Thursday right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're also just over 2 weeks away from the first round of the draft and our draft party at the Landing in Liberty. Everybody from 96.5 The Fan is going to be hanging out there. We'll have a live show from Chris and Bink and your chance to win $965 plus a Juwan Taylor autographed helmet if you can pick the draft correctly. You do have to be in person up at the Landing in Liberty. We'll have some sheets there for you to fill out, but it has been a packed house. Every year we have done this, and I'm pretty certain it'll be our biggest one yet, quite honestly, at this point in time, given the changes and the prize and everything like that.
Should be a great time. $965 to the winner in the autographed Chiefs helmet. That'll certainly drag him in. Plus, Binkley, because we know he's our resident draft expert, him and Chris Unocero, Binkley will be joining us on Wednesdays up until the draft, so we can get some draft thoughts with him over the next few weeks. I love getting some draft thoughts with Bink. He also likes...
This is his Super Bowl, man. This is his Super Bowl.
I've only announced on the air one draft crush. I'll be honest, I'm up to three. So we're at some point going to have to discuss this. And they come in varying rounds. I want to be very clear. They're not all potential first round picks, although there is another one in the first round right now. I've started eye some running backs that I believe will not be, I think will not be in the first round, although admittedly, I don't really know that.
There's always surprises.
Yeah. So we'll see. I have zero. I'll be honest. I don't think I'm going to come up with a single wide receiver draft crush that's realistic, other than maybe Luther Burden.
You don't like Isaac Tesla?
I told you, dude. He stunk. I don't know why we're just pretending, being like a 400-yard receiver at an SEC school deserves to be a third-round pick. He's like a sixth-round pick. They take him in the sixth. I'm in.
Yeah, he's more like a fifth or a sixth, yes.
Yeah, they take him in the fifth or sixth round because he's just an athlete. Cool. I'm down. But, like, third round pick just because he can jump high.
There are some things when it, like I mentioned, the
he's a combine freak. That's why people are interested. Yeah. High upside developmental player.
There's times where I mentioned some of these players that we go through to bank, and he's like, oh, this guy sucks. Like he just
is that how he feels about Tesla.
or about the guy who we're looking at doing the mock draft. Just like, oh, this person's terrible at mocks. Don't pay any attention to them.
I don't really know. We looked up the NCAA. Who's the most accurate mocker right now? Is that same website you looked up for
not
the draft?
Not same website, but
you know, I want to know the most accurate mock draft.
There
people,
are. I mean, there is a site or something that does a spreadsheet over the last 5 seasons. Somebody over at Sharp Football Analysis has been
okay,
the most
tracking
accurate mock draft.
Oh, okay. Not Warren Sharp himself, but somebody who works for him.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Brendan Donahue.
I'd like a Brendan Donahue mock at some point, Drew, when you get to the Sounders. So
yeah, we can.
It doesn't have to be today, but one of the times we play the Sounders later this week, I'd like a Brendan Donahue one so we can get a sense.
All right.
Let's talk about the AFC West, though. As you'd mentioned, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I was trying to think about how I think what's happening in the AFC West is they've decided to collectively try to get together to beat the Chiefs because they realize no one individual team can do it. And the most recent plan, which is different than the one they had 3 years ago, is what if we try to close the coaching gap significantly while our quarterbacks are still viable? Bo Nix, Geno Smith, and Justin Herbert. And look, Justin Herbert maybe has got some better upper end potential than the other two, but until he realizes those gains, I'll be honest, I'm not going to keep putting him into the conversation of top 5 to 7 quarterback, maybe most talented, but certainly not performing. I feel like they all decided to collectively get together and be like, hey guys, nobody can be a laughingstock or nobody else is ever going to win the AFC West besides Kansas City. So can we agree? No one gets to be a joke anymore. We all have to have real quarterback. We have to have all real coaches now. No more Nathaniel Hackett's. We got to get Sean Payton. And they're like, well, that made them kind of decent. So no more Antonio Pierce. Was that the most?
Yeah.
You know, no more Antonio Pierce. We need a real head coach. Ooh, Pete Carroll, former Super Bowl champion. And they all decided that they needed to do the same plan in order to compete in some way against Kansas City. And they're hoping as a collective. That's what I think is happening. As a collective, they think they can knock Kansas City back closer to the pack.
Yeah, I hear you. So they have all hired someone.
I'm not saying they had a meeting.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. If I found out there was a secret meeting between the three AFC West teams to try to find a way to be more competitive against the Chiefs, that would be my dream.
They have definitely gone with the same path of established, respectable coach to bring stability, get us off the doormat of the division in their mind. Although I still think the Raiders will be there. But Pete Carroll brings stability, legitimacy to the Raiders organization, even if he's only going to be there for 3, 4, 5 years because of his age, but they're going to be well coached. Like I you know that. Now, does it mean they're winning 9 or 10 games? No, but are they a 3 or 4 win team with Pete Carroll? I do not believe so. I think this, now what does that get you? If you're a fan, I don't know. You're not gonna be happy with 7 wins. But my point is the bar has been raised by hiring Pete Carroll. The Chargers, when they brought in Harbaugh, they felt like they have the quarterback and they're one step away and a coach away. We'll find out. First playoff game in year one, they lose right away. Sean Payton, you mentioned Nathaniel Hackett. Before, they didn't have a real head coach. And they bring in Sean Payton, and while it didn't work out with Russ, they obviously had success last year. Is it enough to knock off the Chiefs? I do not believe so yet. But the division, no other division has the coaching pedigree that the AFC West has, and we've maybe never seen it in the NFL ever.
I'd have to go through like every team in history, but
Andy's
I'd be hard-pressed.
Andy's got the 3 rings. Sean Payton's got his ring. Obviously, Pete Carroll's got his. Harbaugh doesn't have a ring in the NFL. He's got a national championship,
though.
He's
coached in a Super Bowl.
He has coached one. So this is the, you know, what does that get you? You know, I don't know. It brings some respectability. But I don't think it's, you know, it's more about how bad some of the franchises have been. You know, you're done trying to hire the interim guys. You're done trying to hire the next up and coming head coach, and they said, "Screw it, we're going to go get the guy that we know can coach in this league, has had success, can bring some respect to our organization." To me, that's what all 3 of the other organizations did.
I guess the way I would view it as a downside, if I were the other teams, is you're still worse at coach and you're still worse at quarterback, and there's nothing you can do about that, right? There is no coach you can hire, there is no quarterback you can draft that resolves that issue. So I understand that you're kind of stuck in that regard. But if this plan works and you're slightly more competitive than you were and you maybe get a couple of games from the Chiefs, the division comes back closer to the pack, so you actually have a chance to like compete for it. It's not just dead November 1st and there's some hope. What's the best case scenario? You got this coach until he's 80 in 4 years? Like, I got to be honest, and I know that like Andy Reid will retire eventually and then maybe you can ride it out. But if you draft the young up-and-coming coach and you find the next Sean McVay and you get the right guy, you get Ben Johnson and it's the right hire. Well, then Andy's gone. At least then maybe you have a scenario in which you have the best coach in the division. Sean Payton is the youngest, I guess, maybe of the four. How old Sean Payton?
You're probably right.
Yeah, he's probably younger. I don't know.
Harbaugh's 61.
Payton's 61.
Andy's like 60. What?
Payton's 61.
Okay, so Harbaugh and Sean Payton are about the same age. I mean, maybe if they coach into the Andy 70s, you get 10 years, but I don't know. Maybe Sean Payton does want to coach for 10 years, and I'm off on this, but it doesn't feel like they're going to be able to like outrun Andy Reid. And if you continue to not compete for divisions, you're just going to get fired anyway. If the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders all have these veteran coaches, and none of them ever compete for the, like, they don't win the division, and they just lose in the second round of the playoffs, they're going to get canned in 4 years anyway, and they're going to run into the same problem. I feel like getting the younger guy might actually be a better plan. I also just think it's a bad idea for everyone to try the same thing. They're all trying, legitimately, the identical plan to try to take down the Chiefs. And they did that. The reason why I feel like it's going to fail is 3 years ago, they did that same thing. Every single team in the division went out and spent a bunch of money in free agency, all at the same positions, all at the same time to try to make a run at the Chiefs, and it failed. Like, so you're just going to do the same plan again? Anybody want their own original thought?
Or well, you guys just thinking like that? It is a different thought process, though.
It's a different process than the last time, but it's yeah. They're all on the same plan again, I guess.
But I guess that's part where we weren't taking it literal, but like, it sounds like now it seems like you, like, again, they didn't all get together and decide to do it. So I don't know why it matters if
it's
they're all doing
timing,
it.
It's funny on timing, I guess.
Yeah,
if that's
no
the
doubt.
Point.
No doubt. Yeah.
They're coming to the same conclusions, even though they're having separate meetings.
They're trying to find different formulas. Ultimately, it is, you have the quarterback. I still think the Chargers have the right quarterback. I understand Herbert has not been what everybody initially thought he could be. I still think they have the second best quarterback in the division, and I don't think it's close. I know Bo Nix, everybody loved in his rookie year.
I got to see more of Bo Nix before I'm ready.
Herbert is still the second best quarterback in the division. I'm sorry. So that is still the biggest issue for all these other teams. Like, is there another level to Bo Nix's game? Is Geno Smith have another great year in him? Geno Smith, 2 years ago, was really, really good. Like,
yeah.
Really good. Got credit to him, revitalized his whole career, and he's now making good money.
He's a top 15
guy. But the last year or two, he's been very, average. He's been very average. And that might just be what he is at this point. Well, but it's an upgrade for the Raiders, but I still think if everything went perfect for Pete Carroll, I'm talking about everything went perfect, they're an 8-win team. Most likely they're a 6 or 7 win team again.
I don't know. Genty and Bowers. I mean, I guess there's like some scenario in which they just like are really good offensively.
Well, and obviously, you know, they want to take that jump, but I think even for more for the Raiders, you can kind of make the argument they're doing the long game where they're trying to make that job. At least by the time Pete Carroll's done, they're trying to make that job one of the more desired positions where when Antonio Pierce, nobody wanted that job. Like, I don't know if anybody wanted that job. And I know that it's different with the NFL compared to college or other sports, but just trying to maintain some level of consistency where whenever Pete Carroll's done, to have that be the quote-unquote top job in the market, like the Bears or whatever the case is.
I feel like those jobs are always related to the quarterback, not like the we've been doing some winning. I always feel like the most appealing jobs, the reason why the Bears was the most appealing job to Ben Johnson and not some of the other jobs is because Caleb Williams was there, not because the Bears are not some, like, they're the opposite, actually. They're one of the worst-run franchises over the last 15 years.
Yeah, but isn't the argument that you've made before, like, why not bring in the new coach and let them draft the quarterback rather than draft the quarterback bring in the coach?
So I'm just saying if you're a coach taking the job, a lot of times it's appealing to do it. Yeah.
100%.
Like, if you know you
would like to think Ben Johnson doesn't take that job unless he obviously feels very highly about Caleb Williams, right?
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
Otherwise, if you're like, no, I don't think that guy has it, then why would you take the job? I mean, I do think, well, yes, we're saying with the Giants that they shouldn't maybe draft a quarterback because the next regime is going to be stuck with blank quarterback.
You shouldn't take him, but I think thinking of the long game of Pete Carroll's a good enough coach, Geno's good enough where and you can inherit, get a roster around Geno where when it's time to move on from Pete
they're
Carroll,
trying to bring respectability to the franchise. I mean, that's ultimately, I think, what's happening in Vegas. Bring some respect to the franchise over the next couple of years so they're not in a hole.
In fairness, it worked with the Chiefs. Andy Reid and Alex Smith brought them to stability, and then they were able to take their swings.
All right, Drew, where are we going?
We're going to the Athletic. Nick Bumgarner. We're going to take
is
a look.
Is he related to Madison
or Brian?
I don't think so because the last names are spelled the same or spelled differently. Okay, rather, okay.
This is it spelled like Brian Bumgarner from The Office?
B A U M G R A G A R D N E R. Anyways, this is a 3-round mock draft from.
God, there's so many rounds.
Nick Bumgarner. We're starting to get into that time where it's not just the 1-rounders anymore.
Okay.
It is the multi-round mock drafts. Some interesting ones throughout this, but we'll start with the Chiefs, of course, pick 31. He has him taking Donovan Jackson, guard/tackle, out of Ohio State. This is the description that he gives.
Three tackles go above it, too. Yeah.
This is the description he gives again is. Jackson can be inconsistent with his hands, but has the look of a possible long-term starter at guard or tackle. A balanced, explosive athlete with very good length. Spent most of his career at guard at Ohio State before moving to tackle, in which he did a good job of Simmons, the other guy who's going to be selected.
So is he a guard NFL?
He is a tackle.
He is a guard.
They're
taking a guard in the first round.
That's the concern.
To compete with Kingsley. So now you've just written off last year's second-round pick to have no hope?
Well, he's saying this is more of a long-term option. So you might play Kingsley here, but this is the guy that...
Why can't Kingsley be a long-term option? He's only in year two.
I'm with you.
Maybe because he never played guard like that, where this guy was... He's a true guard at Ohio State.
The only way this makes sense...
He did at Ohio State what Joe Tooney did, essentially, for the Chiefs last year. That's what he did.
The only way I think this makes sense, it's not that... Kingsley can't play guard. It's that they suddenly are not confident they can get a long-term deal done with Trey Smith.
Yeah. If
they drafted a guard in the first round, I'd say, wow, they really think they can't get this thing done long-term with Trey Smith.
It would be stunning for them to then to draft a guy and then get the deal done with Trey or vice versa, of course.
His comp is Wyatt Teller, by the way.
That'd be a good pick. Wyatt Teller's a good player.
Yes.
I mean, look, if we know he's Wyatt Teller, is that actually a really good pick all of a sudden? Or is it, well, they don't need one because they got Kingsley.
No, I just
I think it's hard to...
Well, if they have Kingsley and Trey Smith, I don't think they need one in the first round. They will draft a guard.
I don't think they need Wyatt Teller.
They will draft a guard. I'm fine with them. It's kind of like what we said with running back. I'm fine with them drafting running back or guard.
I just don't think at pick
31 it makes a lot of sense. That's all.
Who do they got in round two? Do I like this pick better?
Dylan Sampson, running back out of Tennessee.
One
of the multiple running backs.
Very interested.
Going to be around in that range. They get two picks, of course, in round three. Jack Sawyer, edge rusher out of Ohio State. Of course, very good career at Ohio State at 66, that pick from the Titans. And then down at 95, Bumgarner's got them taking Vernon Broughton from Texas, defensive tackle.
Never heard of him, but...
He's one of those guys that is just...
D-tackle, I like that.
So he has him taking
SEC.
Two Ohio State guys. Again, do I have to bring up what we said yesterday? They're going to take two. They never drafted one, but they're going to take two. I don't know. Jack Sawyer.
Warren looking. And it's intercepted at the goal line. Unbelievable. Wow. Jack Sawyer.
I didn't know. What call is
that? That's why I played it. I knew Jack Sawyer. That was. Yeah.
It is interesting. I mean, in terms of Jack Sawyer as well, he's not the. The youngest individual, if I do stand correct. Okay, he's 22. He's been around college for a long time. Feels like he's older than what he actually is, which is actually a good thing.
On the flip side, the Tennessee running back, Dylan Sampson, he hasn't turned 21 until September.
Dylan Sampson is a second contract,
even though you don't necessarily want it. Here's what I hate about this mock, is that here are the picks that are available after Kansas City selects a guard at 31. At 35, Luther Burden goes. At 36, Walter Nolan goes, the defensive tackle that people aren't even sure is going to be there. Ursary, the kid from Minnesota that people think might actually be able to play tackle, goes after that. I just don't want to guard in the first round. I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know why you wouldn't try Kingsley. And in the worst case scenario, you have the guy who started guard for you in the Super Bowl, the AFC title game, the last 6 weeks of the season. You have a safety net at guard if Kingsley can't play it. A guy who played it the entire year. And this time a real left tackle will be to the left of him, not a guy playing guard at tackle. I did see, what was it, yesterday? 2 days ago? I saw that Jalen Milroe accepted an invitation to go to the... Does that mean he's going to the first? He accepted an invitation to be at the draft in Green Bay. We think he's going to the first
now? It usually means that the grades, there's a belief that he could be a first rounder, yes. Doesn't always guarantee you that. But yeah, maybe he's a late first... Maybe he's getting selected at pick 28. Maybe there's a team that trades back in the first round and get the Chiefs out of the first round.
I don't care if they trade out of the first round this year. If they ended up at like 42 and 57 or whatever, I don't know what. I'd have to look at everyone's picks, but you get the point.
Bumgarner has Jalen Milroe going 42 to the New York Jets. There is an interesting nugget in this Mike, I don't know if you guys saw it. Pick 21. Shedeur Sanders outright to the Steelers. No trade up, no trade down.
That's the dream. I think that's a dream scenario.
He's falling to 21.
There's other people who have him falling outside of five, outside of six. Seven.
I could see him falling outside of five, but he's going to pass the Jets and get to 21.
If the Jets
are on the clock and Sanders, I know they signed Justin Fields to a 2-year deal, and I understand Aaron Glenn said, you know, they think they're about to have Justin Fields just, you know, completely open up his entire career right before our eyes, kind of thing.
And that's happened recently, you know, so people are probably bigger believers in that possibility.
If he gets past
New York with the Jets,
he gets past the Saints at 9, he might fall all the way down.
Yeah,
to
I think
21.
Yes, if he doesn't get taken by the Jets or the Saints and some of these,
he might drop to 21.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is do I buy that nobody else will then say, wow, he's at 8-10. He's at 18. Why wouldn't I trade up inside of 21?
Why wouldn't the Colts do it? The hell are they waiting for a quarterback? Well, They've already told you they hate Anthony Richardson.
They have Jones and Richardson already.
They told you they hate both. Nobody likes either of those quarterbacks.
But they have both of them.
Yeah, like,
they have both. And yeah, they have some other areas to address. I don't know. I don't believe Sanders has fallen to 21. That's wild.
If you look at the teams that are actively looking at quarterbacks, it is kind of a little more limited at that range. But I don't know. I just don't buy a lot of the noise.
I think so many people have intentionally put out stuff to discredit Sanders for a variety of reasons.
From the Deion Sanders Colorado thing, people are deciding he's less of a prospect because essentially the way he's described as a prospect is he essentially has no real major red flags as a player. He's pretty good at most of those things. He's also an incredibly accurate passer, which will help him in everything.
One major red flag is that he takes too much time to process things, which is what led him into getting sacked as much time as he did. There were people who I saw, I can't remember who it was. Was it Trayvon Diggs? Somebody watching his pro day, patting the ball before he throws. It's a tell, and people are like, you're not going to be able to get away with this at the NFL level. And they're
coach
saying,
patting the ball.
I know, but I'm saying he did it in college. He's doing it at the pro day. And there's guys who are players now that are saying he's not going to be able to get away with that in the league. I'm just telling you now. And I think Trayvon Diggs is one of them. But
the
guys who are in the league, you're not going to be able to, it's not going to fly.
Sanders is 6-1 to get drafted by the Steelers. It's not like a complete long shot, but
I think Sanders would be fine. But that's one of the things going around is him.
That's probably the best place he can go.
Time.
They got wide receivers. Sure. They got an established head coach. They've got a winning culture. Like
Sanders is going to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a year when Rodgers decides to play football or not.
I saw the same headline you guys did 48 hours ago, and I kind of refused to guess where he's going. Because the headline yesterday was he's either playing for the Steelers or he's not playing football. I'm like, yeah, we know. Like, I don't need a report on that. There's nowhere else for him left to play football. Mm-hmm. If he's not a Pittsburgh Steeler because he's decided to wait until at least April 8th to make any kind of determination about what he wants to do it, the Steelers obviously made an offer. They would obviously like Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback. I don't know. I just, put him on Hard Knocks, and I might actually watch if it's Sanders and Rodgers with Mike Tomlin. Do you guys see that they changed the rules so the Chiefs could be Hard Knocks this year if they wanted to be?
Yeah, we had on the rundown on Friday. I don't know if we actually got to it, though, honestly. But yes, playoff teams.
Just mentioned it.
Yeah, playoff teams can be part of Hard Knocks now. So.
Last time the Chiefs did it, it was at the bleakest conceivable moment, roughly, of their franchise. It's a pretty tough time. They were not. It was not going great with Todd Haley.
Have they announced who the offseason is going to be, or are they not doing an offseason one?
I don't think I've heard since North Carolina.
Remember, that was the issue, nobody was willing to do it.
That's right.
How stupid the New York Giants looked for doing. Not for doing it, but how stupid they looked after doing it. When his kids are there telling him,
they're getting rid of the playoff exemption thing because they need more teams.
That's because they stepped on their own toes. Sorry. I mean, that's something to do with the. That's not Hard Knocks' fault that the Giants screwed up.
Correct. But teams are terrified of something like that being out there.
It's a public. Yeah, it's for the same reason you protect from a PR angle your business. It's like they realize how dumb they look, how dysfunctional you look as an organization when you make bad decisions and then it's all public for anyone to view. Your kids telling you the correct quarterback to draft.
That actually is a fair argument because you can't figure it out. You'd rather avoid the public humiliation.
If the Steelers were on this and we're talking about them following the Steelers, could the Steelers draft? I'm sure. Can they wait to 21, or could the Steelers trade two spots up? Because there's still the reason why the Steelers at 21 is interesting for Sanders is the thought would be, well, then is there another team that would see the fall and want to climb back in and
be
jump
ahead
of the Steelers? That's the thing.
Maybe a big jump, though. I mean, you're talking about jumping from 32, 34, 35 to 21.
I Yes. One of those teams you traded down.
I think the Saints could be really interesting because I know that it's not the best spot in terms of cap situation, but in terms of offense, I mean, Kellen Moore and Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave, I mean, you're in a good spot where you don't have Arthur Smith as your OC and you don't have to deal with that headache. Not that it's a problem.
Like, if you're Cleveland, why wouldn't you go from 33 to 20 so you could actually have a NFL possibly caliber?
That might be the team that makes
Sanders,
the most sense.
That's the last place I'd want to go. That's like legitimately maybe.
Is it?
I think if you made me choose any franchise to go to, I was the number one overall pick, any franchise to go to, I would choose the Browns last. Dead last. Even before, and look, the Jets would be down that list. But if you made me choose
the Jets are too good on paper.
32 teams to go to right now in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns would be my dead, even with their defense, would be my dead last choice of team to be on.
Yeah, I think there's obviously three teams
City,
come to mind.
Culture, winning.
Well, I just like, yeah, Cleveland. Yeah, I think Cleveland and still the Giants organization and Jets organizationally. Just
at least I get
like
to live in New York.
You get to throw to my league neighbors.
I mean, I guess. I'm also paying taxes up the rear end, and the cost of living is insane there. But yeah, versus, you know, some of the other markets. I was talking more Jets and Giants as in I don't trust their ownership, and it's a disaster.
Totally. They'd be on the list. I'm not. You know, up until 2 years ago, the Commanders would have been like second to last.
They got a new owner and everything's great now over there. Everybody thinks they're the best run. You know, it's amazing how quickly things shift when you get Dan Snyder out of there.
They're probably just better run. They're probably not even like the best run organization. They're just actually run like a competent
team. And right now they look smart and their fans love them because they found their franchise quarterback. Ultimately, that usually is what solves the problem too. Yeah. If you actually find the franchise quarterback, everything seems to work out pretty darn good for you once you find the franchise quarterback. It sounds simple, but it's obviously hard to find that. But once you do it, man, it just changes everything. We all know that here in Kansas City as well. Up next, let's get to what's trending. And then back into the national championship game last night. The Florida Gators are national champs. But what kind of game did we actually watch? We seem to disagree. And what does it mean for one of the coaches' futures in that game? That's next.